Please keep that passage open. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, teach us your ways so that we can walk in truth and righteousness. For Jesus' sake, amen. One of the most famous hymns is William Williams' "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." The last verse goes like this: "When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side." If we were to sing that song according to the values of our world, I suspect it could go something like this: "Death of death and hell's destruction, land my safe on Canaan's side." We know that we can't take it with us when we go. But wouldn't it be great if we could? West Australian mining magnate Gina Rinehart, who recently increased a stake in the Fairfax Group to 12% and who holds 10% of the TEN network, has doubled her net worth to $20 billion. It is predicted that if the mining boom continues, that she will become the world's richest person, overtaking the current leader, Bill Gates. It is not just her business dealings and her wealth that have her in the headlines, though. When her father, Lang, died in 1992, she entered a court battle with Lang's housekeeper-turned-wife, Rose, over the circumstances of his death and her share of the riches. The inheritance battle continued for 14 years before it was finally settled, with the legal fees estimated to be in the millions. 9 years ago, she became locked in a feud with her son, John, who quit the business. She is currently involved in a bitter court case with three of her children who want her removed as a trustee of the family trust because of misconduct. One of her children has complained that she is down to a last $60,000. We all know that having millions doesn't guarantee a trouble-free life or automatically bring happiness. But goodness gracious, wouldn't you want to give it a go? As the car sticker puts it, money isn't everything, but it sure helps. Well, as we turn to the Sermon on the Mount, we see firstly, there is a treasure worth pursuing, but it's not the treasures of this world. Look with me again from verses 19 and 20. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." There is a treasure worth pursuing, but it is not the treasures of this world. Why? Because they do not last. We treasure our homes, but on average in Australia, we change them every 7 years. We now build bigger homes to service smaller families. Michael Duffy, in writing in the Sydney Morning Herald this last week, said of the TV show Grand Designs — any Grand Designs fans out there, by the way? Okay, quite a few. Yep. I haven't seen it, but as I read about it, it interested me. Well, if you know the show, it's where wealthy English people fight adversity to get their grand home built. And he described the show as a celebration of materialism and consumerism and being what he called splendid space porn. See, we can watch a show like that and lust after not a scantily clad woman, but a designer bathroom or a luxurious kitchen with the bench space to spare. Now that excites us. The home I grew up in is no longer there. Once it was sold, it was cut in half and carted down the street. never to be seen again. When I drive down that street now, for nostalgia's sake, I just look out on the new home that was that's been built on the block. We level houses in order to build bigger and better ones. But even your brand spanking new home one day will come toppling down. It's come home to me that when we get things that are brand new, they soon get mucked up. I don't know why it is, but each time we moved into a new home, the new rectory here and the new rectory we moved into at French's Forest, on the very first night, one of our daughters wanted to mark the occasion by throwing up all over the carpet. And you think, boy, what's going to happen now? We got it clean, by the way, wardens, don't worry. But we don't just treasure our homes. We treasure our stuff that we put in our homes. Now, let me show you something that was dear to my heart. Now, this is my camera. You can see that it's just been sitting in the corner gathering dust. This camera was very dear to me. It went on a number of trips, took many photos over the years, but it's just been sitting there. It's quite useless now. I mean, of course, it's not doesn't do the digital stuff, so I can't put things off it into the computer. But even if I want to go retro and put film in it, it's still useless because the lens, the shopkeeper tells me, just has mould growing all over it. And the pictures that it takes, no good. So it's I just got to get rid of it somehow. It's useless. But once upon a time, this was my pride and joy, my Canon camera. Now, I once had shirts hanging up in my cupboard that were very dear to me, but then they became very dear to some hungry little moths, and now they just serve as rags. My first car, my beloved E.H. Holden station wagon, with a altered floor shift as opposed to the column shift, where the cassette player that was put in the car was worth nearly as much as the car itself. That pink E.H. Holden has long since gone to the scrap heap. Don't pursue treasures of this world because they do not last. Now, friends, don't get me wrong. Jesus is not condemning all wealth. He is not saying, get rid of all your stuff. He is not saying, well, sell your home and live on the streets. But what he is saying is, don't make things your treasure. They won't last. And even if they last as long as you, you can't take them with you. I mean, it's ludicrous to think that you can take them with you. Ring up Grace Removals tomorrow, tell them to come and do a quote, and say, and they'll ask you, well, where do you want the stuff taken to? You say, oh, I'd like it to go to eternity. I'm headed for heaven. Can you do a delivery there? It's as ludicrous as walking into the art gallery and grabbing some major artworks off the wall and putting them under your arm and thinking that you can just walk out the door. You will be stopped before you get three steps to one side. They're not yours. You can't get them outside. And we can't take our stuff with us. See, each of us, no matter how poor or wealthy, will take as much stuff into the next world as Gina Rinehart. Exactly the same amount. Zip. Nothing. Zilch. Death is the great leveller. So friends, don't make pursuing the treasures of this world your goal, or working your heart out to get the treasures, because they do not last. Proverbs 23 verses 4 and 5. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Well, we didn't need the GFC to teach us that, but it sure brought it home with a thud, did it not? Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone. They'll sprout wings and fly off into the sky like an eagle. Yes, earthly treasures don't last. But there is a treasure worth pursuing. and it is this: treasure in heaven. Why? Quite simply, for moth and rust do not destroy, and thieves can't get at it. This, friends, is true treasure, treasure which lasts. Treasures in heaven are wonderful beyond our wildest imagination. Now, Jesus here doesn't explain what this treasure in heaven is, but it would be safe to say that to lay up treasure in heaven is to do anything on earth whose effect lasts into eternity. It is not teaching a doctrine of works. It's not saying, do all these things and you'll earn your salvation, that you will earn your treasure in heaven. No, remember that Jesus is addressing citizens of the kingdom of heaven, those who are poor in spirit and who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. They are those who have already experienced God's grace. It will mean, though, to act so that Jesus' name is honoured, so that his will be done, and so that his kingdom come. It will mean introducing others to Christ so that they too may have the treasure that will last for all of eternity. If all we treasure most doesn't belong to the material realm but to the eternal realm, then we will pursue that. That will be what we pursue, and not material things here or the promotion to get more money, because we will be pursuing treasure that will last. See, in the light of eternity, will it matter how many things you have? How many pairs of shoes in your cupboard? How many tools in your shed? How many DVDs in your collection? Or indeed, how many letters after your name? Or how many degrees on your wall? Or how big the office that you have overlooking the harbour? But in the light of eternity, that word in season that you spoke to your work colleague, that led to them reading the Bible with you at lunchtime, that led to them becoming a Christian, that led to them joining a church, that led to them teaching others about Christ. Now there is the build-up of treasure that will last into eternity. Paul writes in similar terms in 1 Timothy chapter 6, from verses 17 to 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So when it comes to your stuff, a good principle, as suggested by John Dixon in the book Beyond Greed, is why not be as generous to others as you are luxurious with yourself? We heard of the book of Ecclesiastes before, and we're also told in there that God gives us life to enjoy. It doesn't mean never splash out and have a nice dinner, or never go to the theatre, or never update your bathroom or whatever it might be. No, but when it comes to your stuff, why not be as generous to others as you are luxurious with yourself? So if you buy a big ticket item, say a digital TV, why not give a substantial amount away as well to Anglican Aid, for example, to help those starving in the Horn of Africa? Or if you have a nice night out for dinner, why not give a matching gift to World Vision or the like? Be as generous to others as you are luxurious with yourself. It's a pretty good principle, isn't it? And if our treasure is in heaven, we will be generous. We will be generous to alleviate need. We will give to alleviate the starving in the world. And we will certainly give to promote the gospel. We won't do it grudgingly, but we'll do it with a generous heart. And so when we see what the deficit is, we'll think, well, I perhaps can do something about that. So friends, don't make pursuing the treasures of this world as your goal. They do not last. But pursue the treasure that is worth pursuing. Treasure that lasts into all of eternity. Secondly, there is an eye worth having, verses 22 to 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now these verses are more tricky than what goes before and after. They speak of good eyes and bad eyes. You might have good eyes, you might have bad eyes. One of my daughters, her eyes change that fast that she's got to keep getting new glasses and new contact lenses. She's got bad eyes. But here, the good eye will look towards God and towards treasure in heaven. The bad eye will look towards treasure on earth and will admit only the darkness of greed and self-interest. And if the very thing that is to bring light only brings darkness, then how great is that darkness? In Psalm 119, verses 36 and 37, we read, "Turn my heart towards your statutes, and not towards selfish gain." In other words, turn my heart towards your words and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Turn my eyes away from worthless things, away from things that rot, and turn them to what will never rot and depreciate. The eye worth having is the eye that looks to things that last, which is supremely for the psalmist, God and his word. It is no wonder then that he says elsewhere in that psalm, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The good eye then, the one worth having, is the one fixed on God, unwavering in its gaze, constant in its fixation. Such a person will be full of light, and they will not only have light for themselves, but they'll give off light. In the words of chapter 5, verse 14, they will be the light of the world. Yes, there is a treasure worth pursuing. There is an eye worth having. And thirdly, there is a master worth serving. Verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Notice first of all that you can only have one master. The verse starts by saying, "No one can serve two masters," and ends by saying, "You cannot serve both God and money." And what this verse teaches is that sooner or later, our allegiances are sorted out and only one can come out on top. Yeah, you might want to sort of go in pursuit of money and you might want to have a foot in both camps and yes, I want to follow God and I want Jesus to be my Lord. And there might be a bit of a tussle, but sooner or later one master will be preferred. There can only be one winner, to put it that way. What or whom we want to serve most will be revealed. And the other master will be relegated to a poor second. You can only serve one master. You have a choice of two, and only one is worth serving. You can serve money or material possessions, but as we have seen, they don't last. Or you can serve the living God, whose kingdom lasts forever. Now, you may have noticed that we have left out one verse. It is the centerpiece of our passage, verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We are not to store up treasure on earth, which rot and rust away, but build up treasure in heaven, which can never be destroyed. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, if you jump in a river that's flowing down to the ocean, you're going to be swept in that direction. It will pull you in that direction like a magnet. If you just jump in and tread water, you're going to get down towards the mouth of the river. You're going to the ocean. You will gravitate that way. And our treasures are like the mouth of the river. We will be attracted to them like a magnet, and our heart will be drawn to them. Our very being will be dragged towards those treasures. And so if you want to find where your heart is at, just ask what it is that you treasure. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if you're not sure what you treasure, well, just think about what you dream about, what you talk about. I used to work with a guy that every time he opened his mouth, a volleyball came out. He played representative volleyball. He played for the state. And that was his love. You knew it, because every time he opened his mouth, out would come another volleyball. It seemed to me he didn't have any other interests in the world. Now, not a bad thing to play volleyball, and great to get represented for your state. But if that's all you pursue, if that's all you work towards. But I knew what his treasure was. You see, if you esteem recognition, then ambition will take charge of your life. If you esteem dollars, then greed will take charge of your life. If you esteem pleasure, then indulgence will take charge of your life. But if you esteem heaven and service of others in Christ's name, then that will take charge of your life. Esteem heaven, and you will want to serve in Christ's name. You won't mind putting your hand in your pockets and giving to gospel work. You won't mind foregoing the promotion and doing less hours so that you can encourage your family in the ways of the Lord, and so that you can perhaps teach school scripture or meet up with someone one-to-one. For where your treasure is, there is where your heart will be. Friends, there are choices to make. What treasure will you pursue? What eye will you choose to have? What master will you serve? How can we ensure that we make the right choices and pursue treasure in heaven that lasts, and have an eye that is attracted to God and his ways, and serve not money and things, but God? Well, the Puritan John Owen gave some good advice. Set your affections upon the love of Christ. He writes, "When someone sets his affections upon the cross and the love of Christ, he crucifies the world as a dead and undesirable thing. The baits of sin lose their attraction and disappear. Fill your affections with the cross of Christ, and you will find no room for sin." In the words of the chorus, which we should at least repeatedly say to ourselves, but if you have the voice for it, sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let us set our affections upon the cross and the love of Christ, and let us turn our eyes upon Jesus, so that we can run after treasure that lasts, so that we can have our eyes fixated on our God and service of him, and so that we will serve not the terrible taskmaster of money and material possessions, the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And may we do it for his honor and glory.